Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. We are doing our last From the Archives, and I'm so pleased that this week I'm going to be bringing you one of the very first interviews I ever did with Catherine Gray. I read The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober and just thought, oh wow, I have to interview Catherine Gray. She was one of the reasons I actually started the podcast, because I was so keen to interview her. In truth, this interview is it hasn't got the best sound quality, so you're going to have to bear with it. We had to meet in a cafe, but I hope you can hear enough to really get a sense of just how lovely she is. And since then, of course, she's written The Unexpected Joy of Being Single, which is a fantastic book, whether you're single or not, because it's really about how much you are able to value yourself. And she's written The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. And there was another podcast episode where I interviewed Catherine for that too. But I thought it'd be nice to bring you this one. The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober was her first book. Massive seller, and just made such a difference to so many people's lives. And just absolutely, I totally love that book. And what a title. You can't get better, can you? You just cannot get better than that title, because it just sums up everything I feel. I'm going to run the interview that I recorded with Catherine. I must just preempt that I grabbed her for a little bit of time after she had done an interview with us on BBC Radio 2 about the book. So it's a very short interview, but hopefully it gets the message across. And it's a little bit kind of echoey, so I hope the sound doesn't put you off. Enjoy. Let's kick off. So, Catherine, it is so lovely to be able to speak to you, and great to be able to interview you on Radio 2 as well. How cool is that?
Thank you.
So I love the new book, The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. Just before we get into that, I'm really interested in just reminding people of your story, because obviously you wrote The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. But even before that, you kind of hit a bit of a rock bottom yourself, didn't you? And things weren't always marvellous for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things were really the pits. I really reached an emotional nadir just before I quit drinking. So that was when I was 33. And I think the thing that kicked it all off, I'd noticed in my late 20s that I was drinking more than my friends. They were beginning to slow down. I was beginning to speed up. And also, I was the one that wanted to stay out. I was always the one that was like, one more bar, one more club, one more dance, one more drink. Mm. And people were getting annoyed with me, and friends were starting to give me nicknames like Booze Hag. That was one particularly flattering one. And yeah, things were not going well. And my career, I'd always sort of gotten away with my drinking. And after 30, it started going down. And also at 30, my boyfriend of 3 years broke up with me. So I started drinking at home alone, which is always a bad sign. Yeah. And kind of crying into my wine and listening to Magic FM. It was almost like I was hosting my own pity party. And yeah, it just got to the point where I was drinking 7 or 8 bottles of wine a week, and you know, it was just a no-brainer for me to quit, but I thought my social life was going to be over.
Yeah.
But it was quite the opposite.
I mean, I know you know full well that your book has changed so many lives, and it still goes on and on and on. It's just amazing the work that you did with that book. And now, with The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary, I think it's so timely for lots of us, you know, like me, who've now been sober a couple of years, because when you've ditched the booze, suddenly other things start to become important for you, and also when you've ditched the booze, kind of anything that's going wrong in your life, the cracks sort of start to appear, don't they? And suddenly things are revealed, and we don't always have the emotional resources to deal with them.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, we talk about sort of self-care and just embracing the ordinary. You know, that's why I love, you know, for me, this book is so connected to the first one. Yeah. I mean, is that how, kind of how it came about for you?
Yeah, it's so, you're right, it's completely connected. And it's the third point in the triangle, really, because what happens when we're drinking is that we're anaesthetising things like anxiety. So then when we quit, our social anxiety goes a bit bonkers. And we then have to deal with it without alcohol, or we're papering over the cracks. Booze is like holly filler for the cracks in your life. So when you're sober, you're like, oh, I can see that crack so much more acutely now.
And also you don't know how to deal with it because you've been numbing all those years, and probably as an adult, you've never actually had to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's an analogy I use in the book, which is it's like waking up in a trashed hotel room and having to face the music of the hotel manager and clearing it all up and the bill. And that's what it's like. You have a lot of clear up to do when you first get sober. And one of the things that I realised very early on, 2 months in, was that, yes, okay, you know, things were great that I'd, you know, managed to kick the booze hopefully forever, and it did turn out to be forever. But, well, I'm not dead yet, but I'm pretty sure I'm not going to drink again. But I realised that unless I changed my thinking as well, the drinking was going to come back in. And so I needed to rewire my naturally... I'm not a naturally happy, upbeat person, I think. I think I'm quite naturally gloomy and worrisome and also a bit irritated with everyday
life. So you had to kind of teach yourself to... I mean, tell us some of the ordinary things that you recommend, particularly for people who are ditching the booze or in those early months of sobriety. Because I know I've heard you speak in the past about just, you know, you don't have to go to every social event. You can actually say no, put your PJs on and have a hot chocolate.
Of course you can. And I mean, I've got... do you want to hear my list of ordinary joys?
Yeah,
because
I'm
prepared it for the radio and then he didn't ask me. Okay, so here are things that I rattled off on the train here, things that I now appreciate that I didn't appreciate before, and it can be anything. So plunging a cafetiere, the sensation of that, coat hooks that look like drunken octopus, they really amuse me. Scarecrows, I really like scarecrows. Being inside with a hot water bottle while there's a storm raging outside, like Storm Barry or Barney or whatever it's called at the minute. Chucking a scrunch of paper into a bin and getting it in and feeling like Michael Jordan. Murmurations, neon streaks, sunrises, crawling into fresh sheets, a dog or a child running towards you to greet you, having the newspaper delivered, jumping onto a train just as it's leaving and feeling a little bit like Liam Neeson. And at radio, which, you know, for a tenner, you can access all these hundreds of stations that are free entertainment, basically.
Exactly.
So there's just all these things that we take for granted. Toasters.
Amazing.
Kettles.
I know, it's all about kind of, in a sense, raising your vibration, isn't it, and looking for what's good. And I know that one of the things that you point out in the book, and it's something I've been wanging on about for ages, is the importance of gratitude and actually remembering what it is you're grateful for, because it's very easy, particularly in the early stages. I know when I first stopped drinking, I was grumpy as hell, and I couldn't think of anything other than the negatives. I needed this book so badly then. I needed to remember the joy of the ordinary. But particularly, you know, writing that gratitude list is something you definitely recommend, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. But you don't have to write it. If you're not a writer, you can draw it, you can doodle it, or you can do it via voice note if you're more of a talker, or you can just take photographs of things that bring you joy. But the whole point is, I mean, it's not just me and you. We have negatively biased brains across the board. We are wired that way. It helped us back on the savannas when we had to spot what we needed to run from, to see threats and weird berries that might poison us. But now it doesn't help us. It just makes us anxious or depressed. So the very act of noticing the good thing is the important thing.
And I know also this lovely phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. What's your view of social media connectivity? Because all of us are looking at social media, and it always, always, always looks as though somebody else's life is so much better than ours.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I am a fan of social media when it comes to the sober movement, though, because there's amazing things happening there.
And also everyone's so very generous there, which is really lovely.
Yeah, so that is a lovely thing. But if you're just, you know, following celebrities and looking at their perfect planks or kitchens or whatever, that's not going to make you feel good. So I mean, you can't stop other people posting extraordinary things and burying their ordinary things, but you can take long breaks. I take 4 months off a year, and I really find that helps.
That's so
always
impressive
now, because otherwise I find myself getting into that mindset of what's the point, because this weekend there was nothing to post about, because nothing. I didn't like go to a cafe with a swing or
amazing,
you know, meet an enormous dog sat on my lap. I don't know.
But you can plunge a coffee, right?
Yes, exactly.
Or throw a bit of paper in a bin.
Yeah.
Ordinary
so it's
joys.
It's almost like the gratitude list is the beautiful things that happen in the day that you can't post about. And you didn't notice before, maybe.
Love it. Catherine Gray, thank you so much. I absolutely love your work. I'm such a big fan, and I look forward to the next book.
Oh, thanks,
darling. Thank you.
The lovely Catherine Gray will put the links to the books in the show notes in case you haven't read them yet. So I really hope you've enjoyed listening to these episodes from the archives. You can carry on telling me what your favourite episodes have been, and we'll make sure we flag them up from time to time. And we'll be back, we'll be resuming normal service from next week with some amazing new guests. I've got some great stuff lined up for you. This has given me a little bit of time to work on my book and to get some more interviews in the can, as it were. So we've got some very, very good stuff lined up that I think you're going to really, really love, particularly if you're interested in health and work. Well, who isn't interested in health and well-being? But nutrition especially, because we know that it's so important. The nutrition element when you first stop drinking is just absolutely critical to your success. So I've got some great guests who are going to speak nutrition with us. And I'm so excited to tell you that I'm interviewing Denise Welsh. I'm so pleased I was able to manage to make that happen. Well, fingers crossed. So, the book, The Unwelcome Visitor, all about her mental health issues, about her depression. It's just been a game changer for so many people to hear someone as in the public eye as Denise talking about this stuff, and talking about the link as well between alcohol and depression. So important to have that stuff out there properly in the public domain and be talked about. So really excited about that. Make sure you follow me at Janie Lee Grace on Instagram, on Facebook. It's Janie Lee Grace. You can obviously check out the Sober Club if you want accountability and inspiration, and if you want to focus on upscaling. Doesn't matter whether you're day one or year six, we have a whole range of members in the Sober Club, because we're focusing on living our best lives. So that's all the stuff we do. And whatever stage you're at, you want, there's always something else, right? There's another layer to kind of uncover. And so it would be fantastic to have you as part of our gang. So check out thesoberclub.com. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.